Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer?
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What does this mean?
We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he should give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us.
In the face of this past week's awful murders in our community, we gather once again to worship the triune God. In the face of such evil, and trusting in the mercy of God and the life he has given his church, we are reminded that the ancient name for this Sunday is Laetare, the Latin word for rejoice. The church rejoices that her journey to a death on a cross and the raising up of a life from an empty tomb is nearing its culmination. The devotional celebration of the central events of our faith, the events of death and life, are coming ever closer. The church rejoices in that nearness, especially in the face of tragic death and suffering. My grandchildren are working their way through the Lenten devotional Journey Round Jerusalem. There are stickers to mark events on each day of Lent. Now, initially, they wanted to go straight to the cross because they knew that that was the main event. But their mom and dad put them off, pointing out that there was a path, a journey that they were going on that would take them to that cross. Amazingly enough, they accepted that. But nearly every day, when they put the sticker on the new picture, they point to the cross as the place to which they are going. It is a small reminder for you that you are going towards a death in order that you may have life. Laetare, rejoice. But what sort of anticipation, what sort of rejoicing would the man born blind have had? He had never seen the light of day, had never seen anything of the world in which he lived, and reality dictated that he never would. He, like the disciples, probably thought that his condition was a punishment for sin. Whose sin it was, he more than likely did not know. Then he met Jesus, one who of all things began to talk to him about the light of the world. This Jesus took some of the mud of creation and placed it on his eyes and told him to go and wash in one of the springs in Jerusalem. In one of those "what have I got to lose" moments, the man went and he washed. To his absolute amazement, he came back to the temple seeing. Talk about rejoicing. Talk about wonder and thanksgiving. After a life of darkness, he could see his own hands and clothes, colors, textures, shapes, the sun and the sky, his own parents and family, others who begged with him, and even the temple of God itself, none of which he knew by sight. If in the midst of all of this wonder, he took the time to think about it, he also would have realized that if his blindness had something to do with sin, his new eyesight strongly suggested that sin was forgiven. Jesus was the instrument of one. Was he also the instrument of the other? The man who was blind from birth but who could now see came to believe that indeed he was, and he worshiped Jesus. Now he really could rejoice because the darkness of his life was taken away, and he knew he had a future, the bright light of a life that he never thought he would have. Laetare, rejoice, because you can see the future. You can see it out of the shadows of your life, and it is filled with the light of God's love and God's mercy. But your everyday lives tend to darken that future. Witness the events of the past week. But as you have worked your way through the Lord's Prayer, you have been reminded of the great blessings this prayer is bestowing. That Jesus wants you to know that your life is as close to the Father's as his is. That closeness will lead you to trust God above everything else. That there is a promise of a new creation for you, a resurrected life with God. And that is his will for you. In these petitions, in these prayers, you have found yourselves praying for faith, a faith that believes God is your Father, a faith that believes that you will keep his name holy, that you will enter into his resurrection kingdom, a faith that believes that all of this is God's will for you. But then the next day comes. You realize that even though you long for and believe all of these blessings, your life still is not sinless. You stumble daily. And your stumbling begins with the world. You do indeed seek to trust that God will provide for all you need from day to day and to try to give thanks for that. But then the world intervenes. And it is not so much that you doubt what God is doing, but that you get caught up in the cares and the violence of the world, and you lose sight of what God is doing. Faced with such a life, it really is hard to stand firm, to be faithful, to believe. Then there is your own sin, in its broadest sense, in its all its generality. You doubt that God wants you as close as he says he does, or perhaps it is you who does not want God to be that close. You realize that you don't trust God above all things. All sorts of things seem to take precedence, and God is moved on down the list of things that truly order your life. Then you lose sight of the future, of the new life that God promises. Perhaps in your mind's eye, it doesn't seem all that new. Perhaps that world doesn't look all that different, and you wonder. Perhaps your life is blinded by politics or ideologies that declare that you can create a new heaven and a new earth if you or the world would just live and change their lives into the right way. Perhaps you wonder if there really is a future which can actually give you hope. Your eyes become blinded by your doubt, your uncertainty, your faithlessness, and you sin. So you come to this petition. In our sin, in our blindness, forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sin. Forgive us all those times when we trespass over the boundaries of your kingdom and go into the worlds that do not give life or light. Forgive us. But as Luther says, it is not as though God did not forgive sin without or even before our prayer. He has given us the gospel, in which is pure forgiveness before we prayed or ever thought about it. but still you dwell on your failures, your shortcomings, and you lose confidence in that gracious promise. And since it is true that if God did not continually forgive, you would be lost, this prayer, this petition, is meant to draw you back continually to the grace-filled mercy of God in Christ, that mercy won for you on that cross to which you are journeying. This prayer is a reminder that this mercy, this forgiveness really is for you, that all of the promises of the earlier petitions are really for you, that despite your sin, God, in his boundless love, will continue to forgive as much or more than you will sin. Because he does, the closeness that you have with the Father, the life united with him in trust, and the new creation that is your future are still yours. Laetare. Rejoice. How do you know all this? You know it because you are now able to forgive. As you, in all your humility and broken pride, really realize your own sin and God's own mercy regarding that sin, you, in humility and love, are able to look at the actions of those who sin against you and forgive them as God has forgiven you. Because God forgives you, you forgive others. Your desire, your willingness to do so, is a sign that God's own forgiveness has shone the bright light of his love and mercy in your life and made a home there. If you claim the mercy of God for yourself and only for yourself, that very self-centeredness, then, is but one more sin that needs forgiveness. That is a sign not of God's forgiveness, but your own self-righteousness, and you are still in sin. On the other hand, when you, in God's mercy and love, with all the blessings of this prayer growing in your life, look beyond yourself, looking at sinners as Christ looks at you and showing mercy nonetheless, then you know that your life has changed, that you are forgiven, not because of something you did, but because of what God did in you and for you through Jesus Christ. Your darkened eyes were opened to see yourself and the dark world for the first time as God sees them. And what you see is the light of God's love and mercy. And you forgive. And you rejoice. The darkness of sin and death is receding. And the beauty of God's mercy and life is being revealed in you. Laetare. Rejoice. What is the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer?
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What does this mean?
We pray in this petition that our God, Father in heaven, would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he should give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much, and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So too, sincerely forgive, gladly do good to those who sin against us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.